Morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Good morning.
And welcome to this licensing committee on Tuesday, the 26th of March, beginning at 10 o'clock. And first of all, can I introduce myself? I'm Councillor Angela Loughton, and I'm chairing today's meeting. And on my right is Councillor Julian Thorley. On my left, I think, is Councillor Karen Aspin. And if I ask the rest just to introduce yourself so that we all know who is speaking to us, please.
Good morning, I'm Jim Dean, Democratic Service Officer from Staffordshire Council. May I just remind everybody that the meeting is being recorded and the recording will appear on the Council's website.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Mark Dunn. I'm a licensing consultant representing the Rising Festival this morning.
Right, thank you.
I'm Steve Delap, I'm the Event Director in the Rising Festival.
Thank you.
I'm Madeline James, a member of Stone Roar Parish Council.
And I'm Susan Payne, and I'm on Stone Roar Parish Council.
Thank you.
Julie Morris, Licensing Manager, Staffordshire.
Lucy Taylor, Legal Services.
Thank you all for that. Can I just ask you all to make sure that your telephones are switched off so that we don't suddenly have an emergency? And I think you've all got a copy of what the procedures will be. We're going to start with the licensing officer, that's Julie, who's going to give us an outline of the case here. Julie, please.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This is to consider an application for a premises licence in relation to land on Kibbleston Road, Alton Stone Staffs, usually known as the Kibbleston Scout Camping Area. On the 1st of February 2024, the Council received an application for a premises licence in relation to the site property known as Kibbleston Scout Camping Area, again, Kibbleston Road, Alton Stone. The application is for a premises licence to operate for 3 days each year in July, August time for an outdoor celebration of music and culture with camping options. Live music will be provided from 12 midday to 2300 on the Friday and Saturday of each event. The provision to provide recorded music on the Thursday of each event from 1400 to 12:30 and the Friday and Saturday, and the Friday and Saturday of each event from midday again till 12:30. Late night refreshments to be served from 2300 to 0100 and the supply of alcohol on the Thursday from 2 o'clock to midnight and on the Friday and Saturday from midday to midnight. The premises licence holder for the event is Mr. Stephen Delap. Two valid representations have been received during the consultation period from residents and Stone Roar Parish Council, citing issues relating to one of the Council's licensing objectives, prevention of public nuisance. Conditions have been agreed with Environmental Health and the applicant during consultation concerning noise issues. There have also been further discussions by the applicant's agent with the Police, Fire Service, Environmental Health and the Safety Advisory Group coordinator regarding conditions felt appropriate for the application. This has been agreed between all parties. Therefore, the agent has asked for an amendment to the original submission, which will need to be reflected if the licence is granted. At section 18, the licensing objectives, B, the prevention of crime and disorder, condition 1 is to be removed and replaced at A, general all four licensing objectives with the following. An event management plan, EMP, risk assessment, RA, must be provided by Staffordshire Police Force events units. Staffordshire Borough Council Environmental Health Team and Staffordshire Fire and Rescue Service, 3 months prior to any event taking place. The EMP and RA must include details of security stewarding arrangements having regard to the anticipated numbers attending the event. The event management plan must include a fire risk assessment, provisions for injury, ill health and emergency evacuation plans, policing security searching provisions, including a drug and weapon search policy, child protection policy, including lost child procedure, noise management plan, crowd control, audience behaviour, dispersal policy, traffic management and food hygiene procedures. This plan is to be kept on site during the event and made available on request by an authorised officer, as detailed within Section 13 of the Licensing Act 2003. The plan is to be a dynamic working document and may be subject to minor amendments. The documents relating to this application, including the application for the premises licence and the representations from the residents and Stone Rural Parish Council, are attached as an appendix. Recommendation that the licensing subcommittee considers the application for the premises licence and considers whether to grant the licence as applied for.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Okay, we're going to move then to anyone who has made a relevant representation. We're going to give you the opportunity to explain what you see is wrong with the application. So, would one of you like to start?
Yes, of course. Yes. I'm Susan Payne, and this is my colleague, Matthew James. We're here as representatives of Stone Rural Parish Council. Alton Village, which has a population of approximately 600 people, is a ward within this parish, and we have therefore received the concerns of many of the residents in relation to the proposed three-day music festival to be held in the grounds of the Kilton Camp. The Scout Camp comprises over 90 acres of land gifted many years ago to the Scouting movement to benefit Scouting. The camp is next to the village, with residents' gardens sharing boundaries with the camp. Over many years, the use of the land by the camp has caused a few problems. The proposed music festival, with an anticipated 2,000 people over 3 days, is a different entity, with additional land adjoining residential property in the village being used for camping. The festival raises two fundamental areas of concern: the timing of the licences to operate and highways and access. The operating licences refer to both live and recorded music, the sale of alcohol and late night food sales. The noise from the festival will not only be for the playing of music, but the general noise from the camping areas. This will affect all areas of the village during summer, when residents wish to be in their gardens and have their windows open. This is prejudicing their rights to quiet and peaceful enjoyment of their homes. We would respectfully request the licensing authority consider the various times requested for all the licenses, in particular that all recorded music, the sale of alcohol and late night food are terminated by 23:30 each night. It is appreciated that live music will stop at 23 hours. The request follows Alton Village Hall, where music and alcohol sales stop at 23:30, and the hall is vacated before midnight. We'd like to draw your attention to Trenton Gardens, some 4 miles from Alton, which holds concerts and weddings. These events are for one night, and we understand the music and sale of alcohol end at midnight. This site is far larger than the campsite, with specific facilities to hold such events. There are considerably fewer residents within influencing distance of this site. The three-day festival at Kibbleston Camp will have a significant impact on this quiet village, and we trust that you will be able to take these concerns into consideration. The second part of the presentation is to do with highways and access and traffic management. I mentioned in the email from Stone Rural Parish Council to the licensing authority concerning public safety and public nuisance from increased traffic, that given the narrow single-track roads in the village leading from the Longton Road, that's the A520, through the village via Church Lane, Nichols Lane and via Vanity Lane, and together with no pavements in most of the village, including along the majority of Kibbleston Road, it is requested that all festival traffic be diverted away from the village, that is to say, entering the village from the northern approach from the Longton Road, the A520, and along Kibbleston Road. I must emphasise that access from both Nichols Lane and Vanity Lane onto the A520 is extremely hazardous and not advised, as the 520 is narrow and winding with blind bends. Nichols Lane and Vanity Lane are single track roads without passing places, and I have some photographs that I can as evidence for you. Last year, Kilson Camp hosted two large events. That was the Stone Food and Drink Festival and an International Scout Camp. Traffic management by the Stone Food and Drink Festival Committee was exemplary. Cones and signs saying no parking were placed along Kibbleston Road, Rock Crescent and Church Lane. and there were no parking issues at all. However, there was little traffic management in evidence for the International Scout Camp, which was held later in the year, which resulted in Kilberston Road and Rock Crescent being heavily used for car parking and some residents being unable to get their cars out of their drives. I've spoken to the representatives from the Riding Festival to request that their traffic management plan includes cones and signs dissuading festival goers from parking in the village.
Thank you very much. Would you like to add to that at all?
I think sort of within the bounds that the parish council are able to object, Sue has made fair representations. I do have a representation here from two residents who are not able to be here, and may I read that?
Yes, by all means do.
This is a representation made by Steph and Sam Tippett of the Manor House, Oulton Rocks, Oulton. We feel that our initial concerns have not been addressed with any of the current compromises and proposed resolutions to try and avoid the noise and nuisance from the proposed festival. Our property is immediately adjacent to the site, and we have already had previous noise issues from Kibbleston Scout Camp for events without any licensing. These events have already been submitted as evidence in our initial representation. During the festival, we will be prevented from being able to use our outdoor areas of our property without nuisance of noise from the festival, which is currently proposed to be licensed until 12:30. We are also convinced that the noise levels will be such that they will be audible indoors and will cause issues for ourselves and two young children aged 4 and 2 years old. They both attend nursery and school and will be in bed by 7 p.m. We believe, based on previous noise nuisance we have heard from the site, they will not be able to sleep even with the windows closed. Additionally, in summer the weather is usually hot, so we must sleep with the windows open. This will most definitely not be possible with the noise nuisance. This is a residential area, and although there have only been a handful of representations, we believe this is due to lack of awareness in the village and lack of any direct consultation with any residents in the village. The first we heard about the festival was on Instagram, an app that possibly many of the residents of Oulton do not use. Alongside noise management on the site and various conditions, of which there have been several solutions proposed, such as a complaints log, signage on site suggesting keeping the noise low, and conflict training. All these suggest that there is already a concern that there will be complaints, issues with noise caused by people staying at the festival, which is uncontrollable, and possible conflict within the festival. When there are issues with noise from festival goers and or conflict, will these festival goers be ejected from the festival? And if so, will that ejection then result in them being in the village causing similar issues? There are suggestions from the parish council that the licensing should be limited until 11 p.m. in keeping with the license of the village hall and local pub. However, these are indoor venues. Also, that upon leaving, attendees should be directed away from the village towards the Longton Road. But this does not resolve the issues with noise from those staying overnight at the campsite. The site is usually alcohol-free, so overnight campers do not normally form an issue. It is our opinion that this festival application goes beyond the intended uses of Kibbleston Scout Camp and sets a precedent for multiple future events causing noise and nuisance in the village more and more often. We believe that the festival should not go ahead and at all there can be any full guarantees that the event and style of this magnitude will not cause a nuisance throughout the village. This is from Steph and Sam Tippett.
Right, thank you, Madeline. Is that it then?
Yes.
Right, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, gentlemen, which of you, you're now going to be entitled to question the two representatives on what they have actually said. If you have any questions or any comments you'd like to make, which one of you is going to speak?
I'll speak.
You'll do the speaking.
Yes,
right,
thank you. Thank you, and thank you, welcome everybody, and thank you for the well presentation there. First of all, when you run a festival, it's got to be viable as well. So we've stopped at 12 o'clock. Most of the festivals finish at 2 in the morning. We've stopped at 12 because of obviously the surrounding area. You're asking there's a bit of a contradiction there, because that lady's saying you said 11, you're saying 11:30 now. What evidence have you got that there's going to be a problem between 11:30 and 12 any more than it would do at 11:30? What's the difference? Why are you saying 11:30 instead of 12? Where's the evidence to suggest that there's going to be any difference between within that half an hour? And that other lady, she's saying the children go to bed at 7, she doesn't want it at all. So I just want to know if you've got any evidence to suggest that there's a massive difference within that half an hour, because we're only asking for half an hour more than that. And I can't see that the noise is going to be any more or less if we stop at 12 than if we stop at 11:30. So where's that basis?
I think the basis is the Oldham Village Hall, actually, which is a very, very busy village hall with lots of events at the weekend. And they found that stopping the all noise and alcohol sales at 11:30 and clearing the site by 12 has worked for them and the local people.
But there's no evidence to suggest that there's going to be any worse at 12 o'clock than it is at 11:30. That's an opinion from another event that's been run, not this event. And I think the Licensing Act is quite specific when it says that each premises has to be taken on its own merit. We don't know how they operate. All we can say is we know how we operate and what we put in provision to actually make sure that you're not going to have any issues. And until we've actually gone forward, until the event has actually taken place, nobody can really make comment on how this is going to affect anybody. So if there's no evidence between for that extra half an hour, I can't see why you'd say, well, we'll just stop at 11:30 because they're stopping at 11:30. If you think there's going to be considerable more noise after that time, then I agree. 11 o'clock is where the live music act would actually say stop. You're saying 11:30, so you've disregarded that act. And I'm just saying that there's no evidence to support that extra half an hour. Okay.
We would like the live music to stop at 11.
It will be.
It will. And we're now asking that all music and sales stop at 11:30. We felt we would very much like it all to stop, everything, at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not
but the village hall does function until 11:30, so we didn't think it was fair and reasonable to ask you to stop. So it's not an argument that there will be more noise in that half hour, but we do know that the noise will continue well on after midnight from the campers.
How many scouts do you have? Do you know what the maximum number of scouts have been on that scout camp?
We had a lot of scouts, but they are very young, they're very well controlled. And there's no alcohol. It's a very different organisation from what you're proposing.
Do you know what we're proposing?
Well, you're proposing drinking all day, basically.
And if you were there, would you be drinking all day and would you cause problems?
I hope not.
Absolutely. And we hope that the rest of the people that actually attend are the same minded. And that a lot of them are going to be in camper vans. So when they go back from the festival, they go into a camper van, and that's it. And there are also We've got a massive, I'll explain this when I go through our presentation, then you can ask us some questions. So there is no evidence then, the noise is not going to be any worse between half 11 and 12, so I understand that. The second representation by the residents here, I can't see what weight that's going to carry because I can't ask them any questions. They can't answer the questions that I would like to ask.
Well, if you want to ask any questions, I'm sure that the representatives will try.
She can't answer on behalf of them.
You don't want to, right? That's okay, that's fine.
Because
I just
some
didn't
things
want you to
that
feel that you weren't being allowed the opportunity.
There were some things that they mentioned in their representation that...
Well, you can put them forward in your things.
Okay.
You can, that's the way to
look,
do it.
Thank you very much. That's appreciated. Thank you.
So you have no further questions?
No, that's fine.
Okay, then. That's fine. Thank you, then, Mark. Councillor Thornton, do you have any questions you would like to ask?
Yes.
To the parish councillors?
Yeah, you've raised the point about the noise level. I'm just looking up here about the decibels. And it's actually got down here, a rock concert gives off 103 decibels. Yep. Now, that would be in the...
Are you asking them or me, sir?
Anybody wants to...
You're asking the ladies.
Yeah,
the ladies.
It says 103 decibels in the rock concert. Now, that would be, normally speaking, in the arena, round by the stage. So, I mean, how far are your houses away from where the actual instruments are being played?
They are very close.
To hear?
They are very close.
Because that's what we've got away up.
The gardens, a lot of gardens adjoin Kibbleston Scout Camp. And the noise does travel. It's on a hill going down into a valley. The noise does travel. I live in the middle of the village, and when scouts do have activities with music, we can clearly hear everything.
I mean, hearing is one thing, it's about the level of the actual noise, isn't it?
The noise is I mean, you are not able to sit in your garden and have your windows open.
Yes, but can you please tell me and the committee what level of decibels has actually been recorded of noise, if any?
I've not recorded any noise.
Because unless we've got any recordings, we've got nothing categoric to go on noise level.
No, we have not recorded the noise.
Right, that's fine.
The scout camp events are usually one night, and the noise, their music is generally cut off by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I think though the councillor is actually asking about the level of the noise. No one has ever recorded the noise level coming from any event having taken place in Kibbleston Camp. So that's what we're asking, that's what's being asked.
Yeah,
it's never ever been recorded. Because this example is, the example is at rock concerts, that's the noise level that comes off from around the stage. And what you're seeing is, have you ever, anyone ever recorded the noise from an event? No, they haven't. Okay then, that's fine, thank you very much. Anything else you need?
No, I've answered it, Chair.
Right. Okay, thank you. Councillor Ashton,
yes, I just have, it's not really a question, it's, if I understood well, the comparison you're doing is with previous events who have nothing to do with this event.
Can you say that
again? I mean, you had scouts events.
Yes.
You have maybe someone else doing a music event, but not the...
What you're being asked is, have there been events other than scouting events held in the camp?
Yes. There's a Stone Food and Drink Festival. They play a lot of music.
To answer you, Councillor, it's not involved.
It's not you?
No, not
you. Okay.
No.
That's what I wanted to know.
Have you never had a music festival? No.
Okay. And so you can't be sure, because I read that there will be normally two stages, one marked and the marquee's one open air.
That's right.
You don't know where they will be?
There is a plan that we were given, but it's very sketchy.
It's difficult to know where the that's the map. To be honest, it's very difficult to know where the actual stage. I think the stages are here, but in relation to everything else, I'm not sure.
But you normally know the layout of the campsite. You could actually do with seeing that. Could the councillors look at that map?
What I'll do, I'll go through my representation, because I think that's more geared towards than these ladies, because they're making comment there about things that they don't understand. That's the problem. And the complaints that have come in, they don't know what we've actually put in place.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
If I'm asking, it's just because if the stage is more close to the garden, you said the fences,
no,
the boundaries are just next
stage
door.
Stage is not close to the garden. No.
Yeah, so it could influence our decision. Yeah. That's why I'm asking. Okay.
Thank you. Can I ask you the complaints that you read out and the summary that you gave us? Is that more parish councillors than actual residents in the area who have made all these observations?
These are representations from the people who live in the area.
So have they all been in touch with their individual parish councillors, or have they written to the parish council? Or did the parish council hold a meeting to ask people what their opinions were?
No, we didn't tell them.
You didn't? No. So how did you actually receive these opinions and these summaries?
Well, people phone us or talk to us about it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And approximately how many would you say have been in touch with you as parish councillors?
Difficult to say. We also have a village Facebook page, and people actually write on the Facebook page as well, so it's difficult to say how many altogether.
Right. So you gathered your evidence from the Facebook page and from
many residents coming to speak to us directly.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Right then, what we'll do is we'll move forward. And it's going to be you, Mark, you're going to present the case.
Thank you.
Right, okay, so thank you for that.
Thank you. If I go on a bit, don't fall asleep. I'll try and keep it as light as possible.
Well, I'll interrupt you if you meet with
There's a lot of technical bits and pieces in here, but I'm going to, rather than answer the questions, I'll answer the questions at the end. I'll explain through my representation what we're going to do and how we're going to try and mitigate these sort of things. Okay, so thank you, councillors. The application for a limited timed premises licence was submitted to Staffordshire Borough Council on the 1st of February 2024. The application was accepted as a valid application by the licensing authority. Subsequently, the application was advertised as required by the Licensing Act 2003, resulting to no representations. The premises licence was required so that the applicant can lawfully allow licensable activities as a small music event to be held on the site known as Kibbleston Scouting Camping Area on Kibbleston Road in Alton. The premises are presently under the stewardship of the Scouting Group, serving as a vast campsite for scouts, and it's used consistently the year round. Additionally, it accommodates other sizeable licensed gatherings encompassing regular entertainment and authorised alcohol sales. The team behind this festival boasts a robust history of over 15 years in orchestrating family-oriented music events. With each passing year, the festival's location has sometimes varied, adapting to different venues, while its scale has always been consistently determined by the venue's capacity and the adjacent localities to the accommodations thereby. In a significant shift this year, the attendance is being kept at under 2,000 paid participants. There's going to be 2,000 people there altogether, so about 1,500 participants that are paying. And this is a stark contrast to some of the 25,000 strong crowds that we've experienced in some previous years at other events that we held, none of which we've had any complaints, and no other licences have ever been contested. It is important to note that the presented application has been meticulously reviewed by all pertinent authorities, each an expert in their respective disciplines. And to the best of my awareness, none have expressed any objections to this submitted application. It is with great diligence and thoroughness that we approach this submission of this application. Prior to this submission, we engaged in extensive discussions with key authorities tasked with upholding the objectives of crime and disorder, as well as the public nuisance and public safety. These authorities, as you know, include the licensing authority, the local police, the fire service, and representatives from the environmental health teams. Their insights and advice were invaluable and have significantly shaped the conditions that we have proposed. These conditions, along with any subsequent amendments, are comprehensively documented within your information bundles. I think you've got all the add-ons from where we've had a bit of conversation. We remain committed to maintaining an open line of communication with these agencies, ensuring collaboration continues seamlessly up to, during and after this event. During the consultation period, two valid representations were received. One was from the concerned residents that you've just heard there, and the other was from Stone Roar Parish Council. Both raised issues pertaining to one of the council's licensing objectives, specifically that of prevention of public nuisance, so noise. Regarding to the Parish Council, I was to inform the subcommittee that a member of our event management team did go to the Parish Council meeting, and this was all discussed. And as far as I was aware, most of the concerns were addressed. It came away from there in quite a buoyant mood, thinking that everything had been addressed and everything was answered satisfactorily. Okay, if it wasn't, we could have actually gone back and get further information, i.e. where the stages are. The other objection from a resident is from a resident, and we were committed to resolving any issues and providing assurance that all necessary measures are in place to guarantee the event complies with all the licensing conditions, especially that of preventing public nuisance. I can't really explain to the lady because she's not here, so I'll just continue with this. The representations raised, as we know, concern noise. And out of the 365 days of a year, this music event is only going to run for 3 days, just 3 days, totaling no more than 24 hours of decibel controlled regulated music. The approach to managing sound at this event is quite comprehensive, focusing on minimising noise pollution and disruption to the surrounding community. The use of a marquee stage and outdoor stage are both strategically positioned, and this is a proactive measure to control noise levels. The marquee acts as a buffer, reducing sound drift, much like an indoor venue would. The outdoor stage placement and speaker orientation are designed to direct sound towards less populated areas, mitigating the impact on noise-sensitive residential zones. The tannoy system's directional loudspeakers are a key component to this strategy. Unlike traditional speakers that disperse sound in multiple directions, these loudspeakers project sound in a focused beam. This ensures that the sound is contained within a specific area. This technology represents an improvement over conventional systems that have previously led to complaints from residents at other events that we're not involved with. For those interested in the technical details, the noise management plan provides an in-depth explanation of the sound system's design. This can be found, I think, on section 8.1 of the noise management plan. Have you got the noise management plan? So if you wanted to look at the details and the specifics, then it's on at 8.1. This plan includes further measures such as sound checks, monitoring and thresholds that must not be exceeded to ensure compliance with the local noise regulations. The opening of the event on the Thursday, the 4th of July, reflects a practical approach to managing logistics and enhancing the attendees' experience. By allowing early arrivals to settle in, the organisers not only accommodate eager participants, but also streamline the flow of traffic to reduce congestion. This proactive measure ensures that the infrastructure is in place for the entertainment that fully begins on, say, the Friday. The Thursday warm-up is crucial for technical preparations as well, with bands conducting possible sound checks in collaboration with the environmental health team. This process is essential to balance the event's auditory impact with the comfort of nearby residents, settling sound limits with that respect the community while maintaining the festival atmosphere. Such meticulous planning exemplifies the organiser's commitment to a successful and community-friendly event. Event organisers are taking proactive steps to ensure compliance with noise regulations by employing high-tech noise monitoring equipment. This technology allows for precise measurement and recordings of sound levels, facilitating regular checks in areas sensitive to noise. By doing so, they can assure the environmental team of their commitment to maintaining noise within the agreed limits. The use of two-way radios for communication between staff in the entertainment tents and the monitoring team is a strategic approach to manage sound levels effectively. This system enables prompt adjustments to volume when necessary, demonstrating the organiser's dedication to responsible event management and community consideration. Their confidence stems from a history of successful adherence to noise regulations, indicating a well-established and reliable noise management strategy. This commitment to sound regulation not only ensures a pleasant experience for attendees, but also reflects a respectful relationship with the local community and the standards that they expect. The submission of a comprehensive noise management plan is a crucial step in ensuring that the environmental impact of the event is kept to a minimum. This plan typically outlines the measures that will be taken to monitor and control noise levels, specifying the maximum decibel levels permitted at various locations and times during the event. It also includes protocols for recording data and handling complaints from local residents who may be affected by noise if they occur. The environmental health team's agreement to this plan is essential before the event can proceed, as it demonstrates the event organiser's commitment to adhering to local regulations and maintaining a good relationship with the community. By making the noise management plan a condition of the application, it becomes a binding agreement that must be honoured, and its inclusion in any grant of licence ensures that the event organisers are legally obligated to follow through with the promise of noise mitigation strategies. This proactive approach to noise management is indicative of the responsible and community-conscious event planning process. Qualified security industry authority, security marshals and ushers are crucial for maintaining a safe and enjoyable environment. These trained professionals are tasked with patrolling the event site, ensuring that attendees are respectful for one another and mindful of the local community's peace. They serve as a gentle reminder to keep noise at acceptable levels, respecting the needs of fellow campers and local residents alike. Their role is not just to enforce rules, but to foster a sense of community and cooperation. Should any individual fail to adhere to these standards, causing disruption either during the day or the night, the security team will approach them. The consequences of such actions are clear. The individual will be given suitable advice initially, and then, if they continue and the behaviour persists, they will be required to leave the premises and will face a ban from any future events that we hold. This policy underscores the event organiser's commitment to creating a harmonious atmosphere and a positive experience for all involved, balancing fun with responsibility. It is a proactive approach to event management that prioritises respect and consideration for all, ensuring that the event remains an enjoyable occasion for everybody. I can only state that although my client is sympathetic to the respondent's concern, there is no evidence presented in any of their representations to support that the application for this event would impact their human rights, in particular the right to respect for private or family life. There is no evidence put forward. All possible measures to alleviate concerns, especially those pertaining to noise, have been implemented. Had the complainants reached out to our team, I am certain that their issues would have been resolved. In compliance with the requirements of the Licensing Act, sufficient notices and advertisements have been posted. Furthermore, our event management team have proactively engaged with the community and participated in the parish council meeting to discuss and resolve any concerns brought forward. The Licensing Act 2003 is an Act of Parliament that establishes the statutory framework for regulating licensable activities in England and Wales, and when cases are brought before the courts, the decisions can help to interpret the Act. When a case is decided by courts, the decision can provide an example of the interpretation of the Act, and this can be used as a guide for the committees and courts when they're making decisions on cases with similar facts. One of these cases was a famous case called Daniel Thwaites PLC. It was against the Wirral Magistrates Courts, and it's referred to as the Thwaites case, and this is relevant as it emphasises a significant role that the responsible authorities have in providing information to decision makers to contextualise the issues before them. So, as we know, the purpose of the Act is to prevent problems from occurring. Decisions can and should be based on well-informed common sense. The case recognises that responsible authorities are experts in their fields and that weight should be given attached to their representations. I remind the subcommittee that no representations have been made by any of the responsible authorities against this event taking place. The experts in their respective fields have made no adverse comment at all to this application, and they have supported us, and they are happy with the state of the application going forward. It is evident from all the feedback that the police are satisfied with the promotion of crime and disorder objective, and more importantly in this case, that the environmental services are satisfied with the promotion of the public nuisance objective, the latter of which deals with the two complaints made by the complainants regarding noise. I would suggest that equal weight should be given to the fact that no representations were made by any of these experts, though I would hope of a greater professional knowledge and understanding about the Licensing Act than the complainants that are making the representations. Section 182 guidance, I think it's now at 2.24, as with all conditions, those relating to noise nuisance may not be appropriate in certain circumstances where provisions in other legislation adequately protect those living in an area near the premises. The panel will be aware that there is a duty to prevent statutory nuisance under the Environmental Protection Act 1990 and the Antisocial Behaviour Act 2003. This legislation can be used irrespective of the Licensing Act, and failure by organisers to prevent statutory nuisance can lead to action being taken by environmental health officers under the above legislation. For instance, services of notice requiring works and or legal proceedings can be taken irrespective of what's happening within the Licensing Act. Any evidence of previous and future excessive crime and disorder or public nuisance could be dealt with by the statutory regimes already in place, and that both the police and the environmental health at Staffordshire Council have the power at any time to review the licence under the appropriate circumstances. They can certainly use any evidence from this event to prevent any further applications by the applicant for similar events in the future. Conditions offered with the application have been discussed in great detail with the appropriate responsible authorities, ensuring that they are necessary, appropriate and proportionate, but most importantly, they're enforceable. Even if the application for a premises licence is approved and granted to the applicant today by yourselves, in order for this event to proceed, the organisers still need to adhere to strict government guidelines regarding small festivals. The licence, if approved, does not allow the event to take place. It only allows for licensable activities to be undertaken at the event once all suitable criteria is met. Securing authorisation for the upcoming event necessitates the development of a detailed event management plan, alongside thorough assessments of potential risks, noise control strategies, traffic coordination measures, and much, much more. These critical documents will undergo rigorous examination by the designated regulatory bodies and the Safety Advisory Group, a panel consisting of specialists with extensive knowledge in their respective domains. The Safety Advisory Group, already informed about this application and forthcoming event, has received all pertinent documents. Discussions are already underway to convene a meeting prior to the event to ensure that all considerations are meticulously addressed. The organisers want to convey to the panel and the community that our commitment to taking all necessary steps to guarantee that the upcoming music festival will be harmonious addition to the neighbourhood, far from being detrimental, we anticipate that this event will be beneficial and that the community members will not only participate, hopefully, but also truly enjoy the festivities if they attend. It is after this first-hand experience of our event that we believe they will be able to give some proper feedback, whether it be positive or negative. We've produced, and again, I've not given you all the documents. This is all the documents and and all the relevant procedures that we need to put forward to the that's got to be passed. Okay. So we have got that for you to look at, but I didn't want to actually send everything.
No, I don't think we need to look at that. This is our material that you have submitted to the relative authorities.
Absolutely.
So we don't need to send all that. If they've accepted it, then I don't see why we.
Thank you, Kat. So listen, I'm open to any questions. I've mentioned how we're going to do things and what we intend to achieve and a bit of our history. Obviously, you've got lots of questions. I've got my colleague here that is involved with the event management, and we can answer any questions like that.
Thank you very much. That's a very detailed outline that you've given to us. Right then, parish councillors, do either of you have any questions you would like to put?
It's very, very thorough, and thank you for addressing the noise issue. You haven't addressed the highways issue.
And is that a public nuisance or is that public safety?
It's public safety.
And have you put in that as enough representation for public safety? I can't remember.
No.
You've put.
I think if we just accept that you're being questioned about the highway safety, the lady wants reassurance about highway safety.
The reason I didn't address that in my representation is because it wasn't relevant as part of the representation. Yeah. There's been no representation made on public safety at all.
No, but I think the ladies are like,
that's fine, but it's not relevant. So I can answer it, but it isn't relevant.
Yeah.
There was a letter from the parish clerk concerning.
But when you fill in the application for the licence objection, you're putting it on what grounds you're objecting on. And it was public nuisance. It wasn't public safety.
Could I just say that we were not objecting to the licence? We are not trying to stop.
Oh, no. But there's an objection.
We are just trying to make a few amendments.
Okay. Right. We've got a comprehensive traffic management plan. There's a specialist team that are being employed to actually put everything that the ladies asked for in place.
Yes.
That will form part of the safety advisory group. Requirements.
Right.
They will go through everything and they will tell us what they expect us to do and we will do it. We've already put comprehensive plans in place to address these problems and to make the traffic congestion as little as we can possibly do. That's why we've actually got the extra field as well, because when you look at planning it, it was a lot easier to actually get people in and get them settled in. There was a question, there was a point raised by the other resident objection where they were saying that they're worried about people coming and going all the time. These people are paying for a weekend ticket, so the lights.
I think we're more concerned about the traffic, am I correct there? It's the traffic.
Yeah, our concerns are definitely about parking.
And
we
vehicles as opposed to people.
On Kilberston Road and Rock Crescent, when the scout camp was on, it was extreme.
We won't be allowing people to park on the roads. We will be bringing the traffic in, not through the village. It will be coming down the other route.
From the A5.
And all signs will be directed that way. And there'll be no external parking at all.
No.
They've got a ticket, they're on site.
They're on site, and they're parking on site.
The only footfall that we expect to actually be transient are residents. We've had quite a number of residents looking at buying tickets and things, so they will perhaps walk or I don't know where they park.
You have addressed this question about the parking on those roads. That being addressed because they have this team who are actually, have been advising them on what would be the best thing to do. Right, are there any other questions that I would like to ask?
In relation to highways, we did have sight of some of your reports, and in fact they only address the issue of traffic coming in via Kibbleston Road and having lights on Kibbleston Road. I'm afraid it didn't actually, the report that we saw didn't address parking restrictions throughout the village, and that's really what we want to see.
Right, hold on a minute. Julie, you want to...
May I just point out, Chair, that this is not relevant to the premises licence application. Okay, it is not one of the licensable objectives. Okay, that will be addressed by the safety advisory group, which is further down the line. It's nothing to do with the premises licence application.
May I just ask... what is the level of decibels you anticipate?
I can't, I'm not an expert in decibels, as you're not, and this gentleman isn't, as you're asking the question, you know what the decibel is. So we've got specialist teams that are coming in, and we're working very closely with Environmental Health Services to actually put the right decibels in place, and they will be monitored at all times to make sure that you do not get a statutory nuisance. Right, because there's no law to stop music being played any time. The Live Music Act allows people to play music to less than 500 people to 11 o'clock at night from 8 in the morning, every day, okay, as long as there's a licence somewhere.
Mark,
I think also...
It's transient to wind, so it changes.
Yeah.
But I think also Mr Dunn has pointed out that there is equipment there which will be measuring the level of the noise that is coming out. And if it goes above a certain level, then in actual fact there will be something done about it. Now you can't do anything, you can't conjecture about what's going to happen on the night. You've got to accept that this is in place and it's going to be done. You know, you can't ask for, you know, information that really is being, you've been told it's being monitored and it will be attended to.
I know it's very, very difficult, and I am sympathetic to all any complaints or concerns, but until it's gone ahead, you're not going to really know what we've put in place. And you might think, as we've had in previous premises at these type of events, that the community sense think, oh, that's a good thing. And when you look at some of the comments that were on the what was the website? Little Bit of Stone.
Yes.
There's a lot of positive comments on there saying that they want a lot of them want this to go ahead because they think it'll be beneficial for the area. So we've got to counter that. We've had these complaints here, but there's a lot of other people in and around that area that possibly want this to go ahead, to make it a viable option for scouting movement as well. But we will put things in place, like I say, that will mitigate, wherever possible, the sound that's going to hit these gardens that are over 400 metres away. The sound is being projected away from there, so hopefully it's going to have a it's going to make a big difference. When you've got wind and variables that we can't control, we will be monitoring that at all times. There will be people in the village with monitoring equipment. That these people have specifically been employed to do this. We're talking about people that have worked at Glastonbury. They know what they're doing, but these are professional people that know how to deal with sound.
I think we're going to move forward from that, because I think all we can really do is give you an assurance that there is going to be a procedure in place to monitor the sound and to make sure that all is done, to make sure that it is not a public nuisance. Are there any other questions?
No, thank you.
No. Right, that's fine then. So, Councillor Ashton, any other questions?
I've got a question. You said you weren't aware of the festival, just in Instagram, or maybe it's one of your residents who said that.
Yes, I
would like to know, have you done a public consultation? Because you spoke about advertising. So what did you do exactly? You know, just to make people more comfortable.
Thank you, Councillor. We've got an obligation under the Licensing Act to actually advertise this. So we advertised in the local press that we knew that it was going to get the widest spread of the residents in that area. But also all around the the perimeter of the actual site, we've had to put the blue notices up,
okay,
explaining exactly what times that we're operating this.
Okay.
So if the lady that put the objection in lives near there and got concerns there, if she's not walked past there, she can't be that near to it, because they were everywhere, all there. I think there was 5 or 6 of the blue notices up.
Okay, but when you had the idea of doing a festival for 3 days, maybe having a public consultation before the licensing would have been good.
Absolutely, but we went to the parish council meeting.
Okay.
So who do we go to?
To
do that, I don't know. If we don't know the area, I mean, we go knocking on doors or whatever.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
May I just come in there? Actually, it would have been useful for the
community. Excuse me, but we're questioning.
I'm sorry.
There is a procedure that we have to follow, right?
Yeah, I fully appreciate that, but we've done everything that we can do, as far as our obligations are on it.
Yeah. I've got another question, because I went on your website,
mm-hmm.
And it was written, in our first year, we are restricting our close until midnight to ensure minimal disruption to our neighbours. In future years, subject to noise containment, we will look to extend the hours.
That is something that would be considered in future years, in 2 or 3 years' time. We've got to get a track record.
Okay.
We need to be able to prove to the residents that we are operating in a manageable level, so that they're not going to have these issues that they're perceiving.
Okay.
Okay, so and that would also be subject to a variation.
Yeah, you couldn't.
We'd have to put a variation and go through all this process again to actually do that. But we'll have some evidence, tangible evidence, one way or the other.
Right,
going
for Aston. That's all. Right, you have it.
Councillor Thorley. Well, just making a note that there's no police presence at this meeting.
Which meeting, sir?
This meeting this morning. The police aren't represented.
No, they're not. They've already.
No objections from the responsible authorities at all.
They're all, sir. What we've done, we've actually worked very, very closely with the police, with their entertainment section, where they deal with festivals. They've asked us to put certain things in place, and we've done that. They're happy with the event management plan. In fact, they've said that some of the responsible authorities have said they've never seen such a comprehensive set of documents than we've put forward. And the ones you've got are slightly out of date, because we're updating these all the time. And they've commended us for this going forward, so much so that the safety advisory group are looking at it and thinking everything's here, there's not necessarily much more to go with, so we may need to have a Teams meeting, but that's what we're doing. But the police, the fire service, again, they asked for the event management plan to be a part of the conditions, and so we changed that condition. That's why that first condition is altered, so that they get a copy of it, and they've all got it already. So when we say 3 months, they've all got a copy of that.
Essentially, Chair, they've agreed conditions under the consultation period.
Yes.
So all the responsible authorities have been involved here.
Yes.
And they've all agreed conditions with you.
Yes. Yes. Right, thank you.
Anything else going on?
No, that's all. Thanks, Chair.
Right. I just want to take you back to this question about the consultation. And you did say, that you did have a representative who went to a parish council meeting. I think that's quite commendable. And I do appreciate the fact that it's very difficult to start off consultations when you don't know the area. But your representative, who in fact went to that parish council meeting, you went to the parish council meeting, and did you then have feedback to your company? And you took on board. Could you like to come forward and just say what you
said? Yeah, sorry, was this two ladies here, the parish council? So this was the one where they got to raise questions on the noise, traffic, crime disorder. So, and all those questions were answered sufficiently, in my opinion.
So they were all fed back to you. Right, that's fine. Right, thank you very much. Thank you. Right, we're then moving on. We're moving on to 9 on your procedure. So this is where we're going to give you two ladies, the opportunity to summarise what you have been saying so far. And you're not going to bring in anything new, you've already said, but you're just summarising what you have said to us. Would you like to just summarise, you know, what you have already said to us, please?
I thought we'd made it quite clear in our representation.
Yes, but you've been given an opportunity just to refresh and remind us of your main objections.
I read the paragraph. We would respectfully request the licensing authority to consider the various times requested for all the licenses, in particular that all recorded music, sale of alcohol and late night food are terminated by 23:30 each night.
So that's basically what you're saying to me. Right, would you like to add anything to that? You know, you're very welcome
I think
to.
I read the statement from the residents.
Yes, you read that. We also had a copy of that in our packs. But I just wondered then, Marilyn, if you wanted to add anything to what had been said? Not anything new, just...
Yeah, you know. Just on the meeting with the parish council, that was only 2 weeks ago. It wasn't prior to the
Yes, but you did have a meeting with them, yes.
Yes, but they did come to our meeting.
Yes, right, that's fine, thank you. Right then. So, is there anything you would like to add to what you've already said?
I've got about 5p's. No, but basically, just going through it all, there's been no evidence, tangible evidence, that's been presented today in any of the representations to suggest that we are going to cause problems. The only evidence that has been put forward is what we're saying. We've got the documents and everything else is pretty much hearsay. The resident is basically making presumptions and assertions, and she's basically saying that she's speaking on all neighbours.
You're really talking about what you want to say to us, not...
So what I'm saying, I think we've addressed all those concerns. We believe that operating till 12 o'clock it's not any more significant than operating until 11:30. We don't feel we're going to cause any issues. Every single one of the authorities that we've dealt with are all happy with what we're putting forward and the actual documentation that we've put in place. And none of them, all experts in their field, have not got any objection to this application going through. So I would respectfully request that the license is allowed to go through as it is, and we will do all we can to ensure that it's a safe and happy event.
That's fine, thank you very much. Right then, we are now going to ask if you will all withdraw and the committee here will discuss and deliberate and do what we have to do.
Yeah, please.